John chapter 10. I love organized things, but most of the time I don't think I'm very organized. So I appreciate people that are and do, and they have a gift for that. I mean, I have my own way of organizing, but nobody else understands it. And Kim said, What if something happens to you? What will I do? I said, you'll find it or figure it out, one. Because there's a lot of times I can't find things. I'm the kind of person, I put something in a place where I know I'll be able to go back and find it, but then I can never go back and find it. I don't know what I've done with it. But I eventually find it after I've went and bought something to replace what I already had. John chapter number 10. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 this morning, then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. John chapter number 10. Verse number 1, the Bible said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful to be here today, and for each and every one that's been able to come out to your house today, and I pray for this service. I'm thankful for the blessings that I've already received by being here. And I just pray you'd bless in the preaching of thy word. And I pray you'd bless our fellowship after. And I'm thankful for this church and the good unity and fellowship that we have. And the opportunities for ministry that we're involved in. We thank you for that. We have many, many things to pray about this morning. Lord, you know each and every heart, each and every object. But Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts today as we come together. I pray for liberty and freedom of thought, and I pray the word of the Lord would go out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not my will, but Lord, your will be done today, and that you would have your way in each and every heart, and we'll thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, we're going to read today, beginning again in verse number 2 and verse number 3. And the Bible said, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And I want you to pay particular attention to the beginning of verse number 3. The Bible said, to him the porter openeth. Now, I've preached a great deal in the past about the sheep and the shepherd and Psalms 23 and covered here in John chapter number 10. But this is not just another sheep or shepherd message. I want to ask this morning if you've ever noticed in verse number 3, the porter there said to him, the porter openeth. And so that's what we're going to preach on this morning. To him the porter openeth. Now, we know from our passage of Scripture, if you know anything about John chapter number 10, we know from our passage who Christ is. The Bible said in verse number 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And so we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the door. He's the way into the sheepfold. Then he said again in verse number 11, the Bible said down there, I, Jesus speaking here, I am the good shepherd. And so we know who the door is. It's Christ. We know who the good shepherd is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We also know from this passage of Scripture who the sheep are. The Bible said in verse number 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And so the sheep are those who Christ has died for, who Christ has redeemed. The Bible said in Psalms 100 in verse number 3, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And so we know today that we that are saved by the grace of God, we are his sheep according to the Bible. and his redeemed ones. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." And so the Lord Jesus Christ, He died upon the cross to pay for our sins, to purchase us, to redeem us, that we might be saved by the grace of God. And so we are, according to the Bible, we are His sheep today. It's what the Bible teaches us. And we are bought with a price. And that price is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we look again at this passage of Scripture. Who is the porter? In fact, you might even be here today. You might say, what is a porter? What does a porter do? What does that mean? We're going to look at that today. What is the relationship, or what relationship does the porter have to Christ? What relationship does he have to the sheep? And so I want to preach today on this subject, the heavenly porter. I've never preached on this before. I heard one message on it many, many years ago, but it's been so long ago I didn't really remember very much about it. But the heavenly porter is what we want to preach on this morning. The porter is the hidden person in this passage of Scripture. What we mean by that, you could read this several times, and really, if you're not being very careful in your reading, you could sort of just pass over the porter. I mean, he's only mentioned one time, and it says a very little thing about the porter. He is the hidden person in this passage of Scripture. He's the obscure one. That means not much known or observed. To be unnoticed, to be humble. But the Bible says that there's a porter here. And so we want to point out some things about the porter today. I'll give you a hint of who the porter is, or actually the answer to who the porter is. If you look over in John chapter 16, just a few pages from where we are in John chapter number 16, and the Lord Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He's talking to the disciples. Their hearts are heavy. Their hearts are troubled. And he has many things to say unto them. But in John chapter number 16 and verse number 12, Jesus said to the disciples, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." Now that gives us the answer to who the porter is in John chapter number 10. The porter is the Holy Ghost. And the ministry of the Holy Ghost is found in verse number 14. Look what Jesus said. "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to point you and I to the Lord Jesus Christ. His ministry is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said in verse number 13 there, "Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me." Now I want to say this morning, if you hear a ministry or a church or a preacher even, that all they ever talk about and all they ever glorify is the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, it might be that ministry is not of the Lord. Because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ, to point us to Calvary. The Holy Spirit is not interested in glorifying or lifting up His own self, but He is interested in pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to glorify Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He glorifies, He magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is not to say that the Holy Spirit is not important, because He's very, very important. He is essential. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, The Bible says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And so when we study in the Bible and we think about the Spirit of God, or in the Old Testament, it talks about the Spirit of the Lord. Or in Genesis chapter 1, it says the Spirit moved upon the waters. If you're talking about the Spirit of the Lord, or you're talking about the Spirit of Christ, or you're talking about the Holy Spirit, these three are one and the same. But in the day and time in which we live, it is the Holy Spirit that works and moves in our hearts, and that points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me show you some things and hopefully teach you some things this morning about the heavenly porter and what he does. Look back in John chapter number 10, and we're going to read verse number 3 once again. Number 1 this morning, the heavenly porter, he is the controller. If you look in verse number 3, look what the Bible says. To him, talking about the good shepherd, the porter openeth. The porter openeth. It's talking about opening the door to the sheepfold. And the sheepfold was the place where they would keep the sheep at night. And it was an enclosed area. And in the evening, they would bring the sheep into the sheepfold. And they would close the door so that they were protected during the night. And to the shepherd and to the sheep, the porter opened the door. That's what the Bible says. To him, the porter openeth. And so a porter was in charge of keeping the gate or keeping the door. He was the doorkeeper. And we find this all throughout the Bible. Now, the porter is only mentioned 2 times in the New Testament. But you find the porter and porters many, many times in the Old Testament. The Bible said in 2 Chronicles 23 and verse 19, the Bible said, and he set porters at the gates of the house of the Lord, that none which was unclean in anything should enter in. And so the Old Testament tabernacle, the Old Testament temple, there were porters around at all the different doors. And at all the different gates. And the porter was there to make sure that nobody came in that wasn't supposed to be there. That was the job of the porter. He was a doorkeeper. He was a watcher. He was a protector over the door. So the porter kept out as well as let in. He would let in the sheep when they come in the evening. He would let in the shepherd. But he was also there to keep out those that were not supposed to be there. Now, if you study in John chapter number 10, for example, we read in verse number 1, look what the context of the Scripture is talking about. The Bible said in verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And so there are those that would try to get into the sheepfold, but they're coming into the sheepfold not by the door. They're trying to climb up some other way. And that porter is to watch. And he has charge of keeping that door and keeping those sheep safe while they're in the sheepfold. The Bible talks about in verse number 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. There's a lot of people in this world, they think they're going to get in some other way. But I'm telling you this morning, there's only one way into the sheepfold. And anybody that tries to get in any other way other than the Lord Jesus Christ by grace through faith is a thief and a robber, and they're going to be sorely disappointed. Because it's only one way. It's by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But there's a great many people in the world today. They think, oh, I'll get in. I'll get in by being religious. Do you know being religious is a man-made thing? Religion is man trying to reach up and get to God. Religion is man trying to work his way to heaven, trying to follow some church, some preacher, some organization, trying to be good enough to get to heaven. But you know what? You and I cannot be good enough to get to heaven. That's why Jesus had to come and die on the cross for our sins. There's a lot of people saying in this day and time, oh, I'll get to church or I'll get to heaven one of these days by my good works, by my good effort. Hey, I've never killed anybody. I've given to the church. I've been baptized when I was little and all of those things. But that is not how you go to heaven. And that's what Jesus was talking about. Anybody that tries to get in any other way, the same as a thief and a robber, that's not the way to get in. There's only one way to get in. You got to go the right way. You got to go through the door, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess who stands at the door? It's the Holy Ghost of God. You do not get into Christ apart from the Holy Ghost of God. He speaks to your heart. He speaks truth to us. He shows us the gospel. He convicts us of the truth that, yes, we're a lost sinner. There's no other way to get in except by Him. Some people think that the Apostle Peter is the porter. You ever heard those jokes? It's not a Bible thing. It's a Hollywood thing. Oh, so-and-so died. You hear all these things. They died and they went to heaven and they met St. Peter at the pearly gates. You don't find anything like that in the Bible. Peter is not the porter. He's not the one that lets in or keeps out. He's not the one that has whether our name is written in the book of life or not. That Peter is not the porter. The Pope is not the porter. The preacher is not the porter. Grandma and Grandpa's not the porter. The Holy Ghost of God is. Do you see how important he is? He's the one that keeps this door, that watches over this door. There is no way into the sheepfold without Him. But I have good news for you today. He wants you and I into the sheepfold. Do you know the Bible said in Revelation 22 and verse number 17, and you come down to the last book, the last chapter, the last verses that you have in the Word of God, and the last word of God to fallen man is this: the Spirit and the bride say, come. And whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. The last thing God wants us to know before the closing of the book, the Spirit says, come. He wants lost men and women and boys and girls to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you this morning, you've got to come the right way. You won't come apart from the Spirit of God woos you and lets you in. But I've also got good news along those lines this morning. There's no way in without Him. But let me tell you this morning, there's no way out because of Him, because He keeps the door. And all the sheep that are in the sheepfold that the Holy Ghost has let in, He also will not let out. We're protected in the sheepfold because of the Spirit of God. Because He keeps the door. There's so many people in the world today, and they're so confused about their salvation. And you say, have you ever been saved? Oh, yes, I've been saved. Or I've had people say, yes, I used to be, but I'm not anymore. I sinned, I done this, I done that. Well, let me tell you, if you could lose your salvation, all of us would be lost this morning. But I'm glad there's one that once He lets you in, He will not, cannot, never let you out. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. You know what that means, that word sealed there? It means you're in and there's no way that you get out. You're sealed until the day of redemption. Well, that's a blessing this morning as I think about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us and what the Holy Spirit of God has done for us. He keeps us in. He lets us in. He keeps us in. And He also keeps us safe. Now, the Holy Spirit is a divine person. Do you notice that in verse number 3 that the porter opens the door for the good shepherd? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. And the Holy Ghost, as He keeps the door of the sheepfold, He only lets Christ in. You know what that means? That means when the devil comes along dressed up like a false Christ, dressed up like a Savior, but actually he is no Savior. Oh, he'd love to spoil God's sheep. You know, if you look on down here, it talks about in verse number 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. That's talking about the Lord Jesus. But in verse number 10, look what the Bible says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Who do you think that thief is? That's Satan. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's a thief. He's a deceiver. He's all of these things. He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The Holy Ghost lets no one in except the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that means? That means Satan cannot steal your soul. Satan cannot make you lose your salvation because Satan cannot get into the sheepfold. It's guarded by the heavenly porter. And although the devil likes to put in our minds, you're lost, you're never going to make it, and all of these things, if you are saved by the grace of God, there's nothing the devil can do about that. Except from the outside, and taunt and torment and torture us, he does. I know that. But he'll never get your soul. He'll never get your soul. So, actually, we got a pretty good victory this morning. No matter what might happen to us in this life, if you are a child of God, you take your last breath, you know where you're going? You're going to heaven. You're in the sheepfold. Put there by the heavenly porter, visited, let out, let in by the Lord Jesus Christ, eternally sealed until the day of redemption. Boy, that's a blessing. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 27. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Do you know you're safe and secure in the hand of God if you're saved? There's no man, there's no devil, there's no government, there's no persecution, there's no failure on our part that can pluck us out of the Father's hand. Verse 29 said, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You know, there's a lot of silly people running around today and they're saying, the Bible does not teach the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard people say that there's one God. Yes, there is. That's what the Bible says. But they say, Jesus is not God. He's just the Son of God. Now, if you have trouble understanding that, I'm sorry. But I want you to know this morning, the Jews, they had no trouble understanding exactly what Jesus Christ was saying when he said, I and my Father are one. He was making himself equal with God the Father, and so he is. They understood what he meant. Because the Bible said in verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. They wanted to kill him because of what he said concerning him and the Father. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, the heavenly porter, he is the controller of the door. And because of that, we're in the sheepfold, led in by him, led out by the Lord Jesus, safe in him, saved in him. It's a blessing. The heavenly porter is the controller. Number two this morning, the heavenly porter is the conveyor. Now, what I mean by that, if you study, and especially in the Old Testament, the job of the porter would stand at the door and he would relay a message from those on the outside to those that were on the inside. He stood at the door, somebody comes to the door, they have a message, and the porter would relay that message to those that were on the inside. Now there's a great example of that over in 2 Samuel chapter number 18. And over there is where David's son Absalom was killed. Now I'm not going to go back there and I'm not going to explain every little detail of what was going on. But there was a struggle going on for the kingdom. And David had sent his men out and there was a battle going on. And you know, when there's a battle going on, there's a lot of confusion. They're trying to get messages back to the front line and the back line and what's going on and where is Absalom now and should we flee the palace? You know, there's a lot of information coming and going. The Bible said in 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse number 26, and David's son Absalom had actually been killed out on the battlefield, and they're waiting and they're hearing all these different stories about what happened to him. And the Bible said, and the watchman saw another man running. And so they would get their information from runners. People would run information back. And so the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter. He's the man standing at the door where King David is on the other side. And he called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. And so that porter would relay that message. There's one on the outside. He's got to get some information to the king. He yells to the porter and the porter goes around and turns around and conveys that message to the king. And let me tell you this morning, that is exactly what the heavenly porter does for us. Say, preacher, how does the heavenly porter, how does the Holy Spirit of God do that for us? Do you know many times in this life we're in a battle? We're in a struggle. We have problems in this life and we have all kinds of temptations and trials and troubles and all of these things. And you know what? I've got to get a message to the king. I've got to get a message to the Lord. And how do we do that? By prayer is how we talk to the Lord. And the Bible says over in Romans chapter number 8 and verse 26, it says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever been so overwhelmed with problems and things in this life you don't even know how to pray? I'm glad this morning there's a heavenly porter. That although I may not exactly know how to convey the message to the king, but he knows exactly how to pray. I don't know how to pray sometimes. I don't know how to pray for all of these things, all of these trials, and you try to pray for somebody, and I mean, sometimes it's just so complicated, and there's been even things this week that I've come into knowledge of, and I've been trying to pray, and I've said, Lord, I don't even know what to pray for this situation. I don't know what's best. We think we know what's best, but you don't even know. Sometimes all you can do is just come and just cry before the Lord. Come and call out to Him. I'm glad there's one that knows how to interpret between this world that we live in and all that we see. And I'm glad there's a heavenly porter that can take our heart and our burden before the very God of heaven, and He knows exactly how to explain it and exactly what we need. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Your infirmity is your weakness, what you're not able to do. So the Holy Ghost of God does that. The heavenly porter conveys prayer. The heavenly porter conveys truth to us. Look over again what Jesus said in John chapter number 16. In John chapter number 16, the Spirit of God is called the Spirit of truth. And He said in John 16 and 13, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." He is the revealer, the conveyor of truth. Do you know the Bible is the only book you'll ever read that the author is right there with you? That's the Spirit of God. He is able to guide you into all truth. Now, I'm not saying that you cannot learn from other people, because we do. We learn from preachers, we learn from teachers, we learn from books and commentaries and all of those things. But it is the Spirit of God that guides you into all truth. And it's the Spirit of God that, I mean, most commentaries usually just comment on what I already knew that. But what I really wanted to know about, they didn't say anything about. Spirit of the Lord will guide you into all truth. He conveys God's Word. He conveys God's will. In Acts chapter number 16, I was reading over there about the Apostle Paul, and they were on a missionary trip, and they were trying to go here and trying to go there. But the Bible said in Acts chapter number 16, it said, "But the Spirit suffered them not." Sometimes you just don't know which way to turn. I'm glad there's a heavenly porter knows which way to turn. And after that, the Bible said that Paul saw a vision, and there's a man over in Macedonia, and he said, "Come help us." That's the Spirit of God that showed him where to go. He conveys to us the Word of God. He conveys to us the will of God. He conveys to us the work of God. How are we going to do what we need to do? When the Bible said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," and we're just barely making it from week to week, who's going to give us joy in the service of the Lord? Because the Bible tells us in Nehemiah, that's where our strength is. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Where are you going to get that joy? Where are you going to get that energy? Where are you going to get the wisdom to know what you're supposed to do? Who's going to help us? I mean, the whole world is lost without the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're told to hold forth the word of life. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter number 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach good tidings." Anything we do has to be done by and through the power of the Holy Spirit, or it's not going to get the job done. Who does these things? It's the heavenly porter. He's the controller of the door. He's the conveyor of the message to the other side. Number three, and last of all this morning, the porter is a carrier. In fact, that is literally what a porter is. If you saw a porter in this day and time, the porter means this, a person who carries burdens. You say, "Preacher, I've never seen a porter." Sure you have. You ever been to the airport and check your bags? You get out of your car and you set your bags on the sidewalk there. That's those men usually that are standing by, and they're all dressed up real nice, and they say, "Can I help you with your bags?" Now, most people are so cheap, they won't take advantage of that. But if you've flown any at all, you know that's a great, great blessing. For $5, you bet you better believe you can take my bags so I don't have to carry and drag them things all through. It's a blessing. You ever been to a resort or a hotel somewhere? And somebody comes up to you and your arms are all full and you've been traveling all day and you're wore out and you're just so glad to see that you got where you was going, and somebody meets you there and said, "Can I help you with your bags?" Man, they got a cart, they can put it on, load it all up. Well, that's a blessing. When you can't bear the load alone, that's where the porter comes in. I know last year when we went on vacation, that's the longest vacation we've ever been on in our lives. I think we've gone about 12 days. And at the end of the vacation, we had so much more stuff than what we started out with. And we were about a half a mile from the pickup truck, and it was hot out there, and it's time to check out. And I made one trip. And I told Kim, I said, "There ain't no way." I said, "Where's one of them little carts?" I said, "I've got to find a cart." I went looking all over that place, and all them carts was attached with a man. And I was like, "Oh, $5 or $10 or 2 hours carrying all this junk." I said, "Could you help me?" He said, "I'd be glad to." Man, that's the best $10 I ever spent in my life. He come up to the room. He loaded everything we had. It took me all morning long to do that. He wouldn't even let me help him. He took everything I had. Backpack, everything. I was going to help him. You know what? He just bore the whole load all the way out there. Helped me pack it all up. I'm telling you, what a blessing. What a blessing. These times in this life, you're not going to be able to bear the load. You just think you can. You try for a little while, but after a while, you're exasperated, you're exhausted, you're on hands and knees, and you say, "Oh, Lord, here comes the Holy Ghost. I can bear that. I can help you with that. I can carry what you are not able to carry on your own." Well, I'm glad to tell you, I was looking over there. I found this in the Bible. It blessed my heart. It's in the Old Testament, but it says about the porters, 2 Chronicles 35:15, "And the porters waited at every gate that they might not depart from their service." The porter was always there. They waited at every gate that they might not depart from their service. If you need the porter, he's always there. He never takes a day off. He's there on the weekends. He's there all night long. He's there on holidays. He's there in the middle of the night. He's there on D-Day. June 6th is D-Day. I like history. I'll never forget this past June 6th. It's the day we found out Kim had cancer. You ever got that call? We just go in the house there. What are we going to do? Was not expecting this at all. I tell you, it wasn't two of us there. It's three of us there. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou'st taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." The heavenly porter is always there. He's always able. July 4th, everybody's out watching fireworks. We're in the emergency room. And I could hear them going off outside. But in the hospital where the emergency room is, there's no lights. You can't tell if it's day or night outside. And we'd been there all night long. And she was so sick, she is no help. She is so drugged up, she called me Four Eyes. She's laughing after a while, having a good time, and that's tearing my heart out. But I tell you, I wasn't there by myself.
the porter, he'll come along. When you say, I can't bear this any longer, I'm glad to tell you this morning, there's one that can carry the load that you cannot carry. The porter opens the door. The porter conveys the message. The porter carries the burdens of this life. I was reading and studying over there in Isaiah chapter number 63, and it talks about the children of Israel and how they went down into the Red Sea and Pharaoh was after them, and they went into the wilderness and they're having all these troubles. And you know what the Bible says? It says it was the Spirit of the Lord that took him down and made him rest. Spirit of God, people don't understand the peace of God which passes all understanding. All this stuff we've recently been through. And we've talked many, many times. You know, this is bad. I guess we ought to just come all to pieces. But we both said, I just can't because I got the peace of God in my heart. You don't get that from a pill bottle. You don't get that from a bottle of alcohol. You don't get that from shooting something in your veins. You don't get that from being mentally tough or psychologically able or whatever. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, only comes from one. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, who through His Holy Spirit, you ever been there? A few years ago, we went down. It's right around Christmas. I was telling Kim. I said, you remember when Stephen and Jennifer had Ethan in the hospital? What a hard time. Spirit of God. That's the only way you're going to make it through this life and these hard things. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? In and of your own self, you're going to falter and fail. But the heavenly porter. Man, I'm thankful. Sometimes my arms are not big enough to carry. My shoulders are not strong enough to bear it. But there's one can come along and take all of that and bear the load. The heavenly porter. He's the carrier. That is what the Lord Jesus, I'm glad what it said in John 16 in verse number 7. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. That word expedient means this is what's best for you. The Lord Jesus said, I'm getting ready to go away. And the disciples, their hearts are broken, but He said, this is what's best for you. It's in your best interest that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. The Comforter. Isn't that good? Jesus said, if I go away, I'm going to send Him back. That's the Spirit of Christ. That's how He ministers to us today. The disciples had the Lord Jesus in body and in flesh, but we have the Spirit of Christ through His Spirit. That's how He can be with every one of us all at the same time, no matter where we are in the world, and every other believer as well. Is Christ with you? He's with me. Can He bear your burden? Can He bear my burden? Yes, He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How does He do that? The ministry of the Holy Spirit. That heavenly porter that does so much for us, and we don't recognize it even sometimes. Mark chapter number 13. I'll leave you with one last thing this morning. This is the other time the porter is mentioned. And this is the only part of the message that has anything to do with the homecoming. But the heavenly porter is the carrier. And in Mark chapter number 13 and verse number 34... we find the only other place in the New Testament that the porter is mentioned. And it says this, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or in the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So the Lord Jesus has went away to heaven. He's left us a work to do, every man his work. And he told the porter to watch. The porter's the Holy Ghost. You know what? Sometimes you and I get busy and we forget to watch. We all would say, I know the Lord's coming. I know He's coming soon. But I get busy and you get busy and we're thinking about ball games and we're thinking about school and we're thinking about work and we're thinking about all these things. Hey, you've not been watching. But I'll tell you who's watching all the time, who never leaves his post. There's the heavenly porter. You talk about carrying away. One day he's going to carry all of his redeemed ones away to heaven. And that's your home. That's your homegoing. Homecoming message. He's watching. And if you're watching, you ought to know that surely the Lord's coming soon. Surely the Lord's coming soon. The Holy Ghost is watching. He's waiting. He's never took his eyes off. But I ask you this morning, are you ready should the Lord come? Are you ready should you be in a car accident? Are you ready if you found one of them lumps and went to the doctor and you thought you'd pulled a muscle and they tell you you've got cancer? Are you ready? That's a big question. I'd like for us this morning to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.